healthy life. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and with Chris, we're back at the Paracast with lots of fancy stuff to talk about. Later in the episode, we'll be joined by Mac Maloney, and we're going to go beyond Area 51. For those of you who haven't even gotten to Area 51, you know, right now it's time to go beyond Area 51 and see where it leads us. But one thing that's ever present in the UFO and paranormal fields is dissension in the ranks. You know, organizations splitting off from other organizations, rival organizations starting, stopping. You know, if we go back to the early days of MUFON, Chris, didn't it start off pretty much as a splinter group for APRO?
Yeah, it did. And down through the decades, we've seen this time and time again. I've had the pleasure of going out and addressing the L.A. MUFON group over the years three or four times. And they really do have a very strong, I think, fairly up-to-speed group. They do tend to be a bit, sort of true believer-ish. Steve Morello, of course, is the longtime head of the chapter out there. And I did finally meet him when I went out and spoke, and he's a very astute, smart, up to speed guy. Very good marketing his group. The group they have there always turns out every month in about 75 to 100 people, which is very good for a MUFON monthly meeting. But I get the sense that I don't know this for a fact, but if I had to venture a guess about this recent move, which I think is going to surprise a lot of people, that they have decided to recreate their group into more of a full kind of full service paranormal organization. I think a lot of people like you and I have been animating on this show for years. A lot of people sense that there's interconnectedness between various manifestations of unexplained phenomena. And I think the group out there wants to kind of kick the door open a little bit on other types of paranormal phenomena, if you want to include UFOs in that category. And I think a lot of the people are tired of hearing the same old thing. A month in, a month out, speakers come in. And pretty much every month, speakers come in and present information that that the people who are up to speed are, they just squirm in their chairs, roll their eyes, because they've heard it all before. So by opening it up as a paranormal group, they'll be able to invite in speakers on a wide variety of topics instead of being pigeonholed and kind of handcuffed by the UFO subject. So that, if I had to venture a guess, that would be my guess, that they're kind of opening up the possibilities for speakers and information that may all dovetail with UFOs, but won't fall exclusively under that particular category. So I think this is going to be the first of many moves that we see within MUFON and other groups, that people are just going to start branching out and becoming more autonomous.
Well, the thing here is when you have something like that, you have each of these groups being capable or presenting the threat or promise of starting a new national organization under a new umbrella. And here we go again.
Yeah, I think in the case of L.A., it's going to be more of a grassroots kind of northwestern sort of L.A. area, San Fernando Valley group that is going to be more active in other aspects of the paranormal. Obviously, I've seen online already people saying, well, the reason why they're doing this is because MUFON is a black hole. All the reports come in and nothing comes out, which no longer is true. They do have a digital database. It's fairly unwieldy. It's very difficult to actually pull anything out of it. But you can if you're persistent and you know how to properly language your search terms and whatnot. But I really have a sense that the real motivation for this is to open up the group to a wider variety of subject matter and speakers. And I think that's a good thing because, you know me, Gene, I've been championing this whole idea of interconnectedness for many years. And if you're just a single subject group, you're handcuffed. You're hogtied to that particular subject. And you may want to try to branch out and bring in other aspects of the so-called paranormal. But the national organization has some pretty strict guidelines and bylaws about that. And I think that we're going to be seeing more groups spinning off. Obviously, the political problems that MUFON has undergone, some of the controversy around Robert Bigelow, some of the kind of tempest in a teapot about the latest director and his mile-high flights. And
no, I'm not worried about his business. I don't care what he does for a living, as long as it's legal. But
they all roll up into a big sort of negative column in the equation. And
well, obviously, politically correct, that's not. I mean, people don't talk about it in public that much. But someone who does something like that, you know, it adds to the controversy faced by the organization. But there's another issue, too. As listeners are listening to this episode of the PowerCast, MUFON is having their annual event in Las Vegas, and this year Stephen Greer is one of the featured speakers.
No.
And you have to think here, we have to look at the fact that Greer is a controversial figure. Maybe he's a draw. Maybe he brings people into the auditorium to pay. But he also has done some very controversial things, things that may not be so, as they say, kosher. And therefore, having that person featured more and over and above just having people talking about the fact that UFOs may not be a single phenomenon but related to other paranormal events, that's one thing. But bringing in speakers who have a checkered history, that doesn't look good for the organization. And no one says anything about it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, lately there's been quite a bit of banter online about a certain person I feel is highly important in this field, and that's Ray Stanford. Now, he, as some people have pointed out, over the past 50 years, there have been times where he has gone kind of veered off the straight and narrow and gone into the realm of channeling, gone into the realm of attempting to help people with his higher self. He's never claimed to channel entities or beings. It's always been his higher self speaking to his conscious self. Much to the, you know, that's not how people are looking at his past, I think, online, which is highly inaccurate. But with Stephen Greer, it's different. The guy has pretty much maintained a very predictable course throughout his 25 years of involvement in the field. And he has come up with some very definitive declarations about what he thinks we're dealing with. And one is that all ETs are positive. And there is just volumes of information that show how this particular slam dunk sort of case closed, slam the door thinking is incorrect. And we do have other things going on. For instance, he equates all abductions with the U.S. military. Now, I'm sorry, that doesn't wash. Now, granted, the UFO phenomenon may or may not be involved in the abduction phenomenon, although there's quite a body of circumstantial evidence that would suggest that. But you can't make such blanket assertions and blanket statements and expect people who are healthily skeptical, open-minded, but healthily skeptical, you can't expect those people to really take you seriously. And the fact that MUFON is grasping at straws and I think trying to get butts in the seats, basically, by having Greer, any time that he shows up at an event, he's basically there because he's a draw.
We have to draw this to a close, and it's a valid point of discussion which will continue on future episodes. Meantime, Mac Maloney returns to the PowerCast. He's the author of a new book called Beyond Area 51. Let's check it out. You're in
the PowerCast.
Yeah.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
America, pay attention. Don't wait for the next natural disaster or fight for global domination to prepare yourself with Chef 5-Minute Meals. These delicious self-heating home-style meals are 5-year shelf-stable and require no water, no refrigeration, no microwave. Tasty enough for Rachel Ray, tough enough for the apocalypse. Get yours at chef5mm.com or call 888-959-6502. Don't depend on the government. Be ready. Chef, the number 5mm.com.
Introducing the only portable solar generator in the world that uses advanced sun tracking technology. The SunSocket Solar Generator from Aspect Solar. Featuring 60-watt rotating solar panels, a built-in 250-watt-hour, lightweight lithium-iron battery that charges in only 5 hours, multiple output sockets, and more. See it in action at AspectSolar.com or call 877-717-7778. The SunSocket Solar Generator. Stay plugged in.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We're back on the Paracast with Gene and Chris. Now, going back to November 27, 2011, we featured Mac Maloney, who was author of a new book called UFOs in Wartime, What They Didn't Want You to Know. It follows then that we look this time beyond Area 51, all those strange installations around the world, and what they're really about, and is the purpose more than just the military or civilians checking new test aircraft? What's going on? Mac, welcome back first to the Paracast.
Thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
beyond Area 51. Anytime we hear Area 51, the title, it's a seller. But how much of the book deals with Area 51?
Well, almost none of it. In fact, the idea that I pitched to my editor was, let's write a book about Area 51 that isn't about Area 51, because there were so many books out about Area 51. I think it's been kind of, you know, not done to death, but, you know, there's a glut of them, and there always seems to be. So he wanted to know what I meant, and I said, you know, there are many places around the world like Area 51 that you don't really hear that much about, so why don't we do a book on them instead? So he said yes, and, you know, this was the result.
Here we are. Okay, before we go on, maybe take a couple of minutes here. In the end, what do we know about Area 51, good or bad, and then we can go into the other locations?
Well, what we know for sure is that it serves a legitimate military purpose. It's a place where the U.S. Air Force and the CIA, to a certain extent, test spy planes, test new kinds of weapons, always some kind of aeronautical test going on there. There's, for every kind of project, secret project that finally comes out for us to see, let's say, by, like the stealth fighter or the stealth bomber, there are 8 or 9 that never see the light of day. So they're always testing something out there, something usually exotic, and if it actually makes it into the production process, we'll know about it, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 years. They definitely do things like that out there. They used to do things like fly captured Russian airplanes to have our pilots dogfight against them, and they would also pull them apart out there and kind of see what made them tick. Those things we know they do there, whether they have crashed UFOs there, whether they have alien bodies there, so on and so forth. You know, I don't think anyone really knows that, you know, on the outside. Within the UFO community, obviously, there's a lot of stories and rumors and everything, but there's nothing to verify that anything like that.
Dan Burge knows. I mean, that's where J-Rod is, and the God particle, and all these, like, Annie Jacobson, didn't she say Joseph Mengele was involved out there? I mean,
I don't know if you believe any of that, but I don't believe it.
Boy, I come across pretty dry this morning. No, I don't think all those things are going on there. Even the Bob Lazar story, there's certain things that indicate that he may have been shown things to see if he would blab and talk about it.
Well, we went to that in the book, and, you know, I found that it's a very reasonable explanation for why Lazar did what he did. And I've heard lately now that he runs a company that, you know, does business exclusively with the Defense Department. There's always a kind of rumor that he was really just a disinformation agent. And what we go into a little bit in the book is that maybe the reason he did what he did was before he came out and told the story about Papoose Lake and S4 and these places, the Russians used to have a satellite go over Area 51 sometimes twice a day, but on a regular basis. After his story went out, the Russians actually diverted their satellites to go over Papoose Lake instead. And that gave a break to the people who were working at Area 51 on these secret airplanes, because what they would have to do is, when they knew the Russian satellite was coming over, they had to, you know, push the thing into the hangar and hide it until the satellite went over. And then later on, when the Russians had infrared satellites, they could actually take a picture of the heat signature on the ground, and they could tell a lot just by the shape of the heat signature. So if they could even get the Russians to stop looking at Area 51 by a factor of 50%, that would have been a victory. And that's exactly what happened after Lazar came out with his story. So, you know, if that's true, it was a brilliant disinformation campaign that worked.
All right, so let's just go through this one more time. Bob Lazar, therefore, would have been meant to be a deliberate effort at government misinformation?
Disinformation, yes. I'm not even sure there's a difference, but yes, he was a disinformation agent. It's something that they do all the time in, you know, intelligence projects. You know, we just don't hear about them, but, you know, spy stories are filled with them. It's one of the things that they do, this disinformation, deflect, things like that. And if you kind of look at it in that light, in the fact that Russian satellites did divert over Papoose Lake, at least for a while, then, you know, it kind of makes more sense than the fact that he was running into aliens and you know, saw crash UFOs flying and things of that nature.
Unfortunately, people take Lazar seriously. Some do. Some feel he was an honest broker who got involved in something maybe a little bit over his head.
You know, maybe he got in over his head at being a government agent. But people have told me, and I don't think it's any big dark secret now that he runs a company that deals with the Defense Department, selling, buying and selling certain items that, you know, aren't readily available on the open market. You know, so, I mean, if he was someone who was who he claimed he was, the Defense Department certainly wouldn't be doing business with him now.
Ah, well, that's something. That's an indication there of fakery. But is there any chance, any possibility at all, that the goings-on at Area 51 do involve our paranormal universe?
Well, in a way, I'd like to think so. But, you know, I just didn't see any concrete evidence. Of course, there's a lot of evidence out there that is not concrete. But I've known people who have been out there. I know people who have flown out of there. I know the person who used to be the public affairs officer for the place. And, you know, of course, when you ask these people questions, you know, they're not going to tell you, you know, what if there are UFOs out there or not. But there just doesn't seem to be any kind of concrete evidence that anything is going on out there that has to do with the paranormal. Now, are we flying things that may, you know, look like UFOs when they're airborne at night? Sure, anything is possible. Who knows what kind of an advancement they had, you know, aviation-wise out there. But, you know, there's just no evidence now or in the past that indicates that anything is going on at Area 51 other than, you know, testing of top-secret aircraft.
Okay. Now, in looking at these other installations around the world going beyond Area 51, are they also strictly places to do military testing, or is there something more exotic than the conventional?
Well, that's the thing. That's what we tried to look into. And you know, we just present evidence, and, you know, the reader, for the most part, has to make up their own mind. But I can tell you that these bases, some of them are military bases, some of them are just areas like the St. Louis Valley, where no matter what they're doing out there, every one of these places, with the exception of two, has some kind of a UFO history to it. And that in itself, I think, is very interesting. A lot of the secret bases are bases where they do highly classified work here in the United States, Kirtland Air Force Base being one in New Mexico, Homestead Air Force Base that used to be down in Florida, places like that, and certainly the bases that surround or bracket the St. Louis Valley in Colorado. You know, they all have highly classified things going on, and yet they all have this kind of history of UFO sightings, people spotting UFOs, people seeing planes, you know, disappearing, all kinds of stuff.
And we'll have more kinds of stuff coming right up. Lots of stuff to present with Mac Baloney. I'm Gene, and he's Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio. Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
What does freedom mean to you? How about the freedom to take control of your own future? At eFoods Direct, we're again celebrating Food Freedom Month. In July, for every $329 you spend on our highly nutritious, great-tasting food, you will receive a $190 Patriot Pack free. For example, purchase a 6-month supply and get 3 Patriot Packs free. The Patriot Pack is a 24-day supply of eFoods quick-fix, easy-to-store food, plus stove, fuel, and cookpot. All in an easy-to-carry bucket. Patriot Packs are the ideal grab-and-go emergency kit for your car or to have by the back door. Perfect for your cabin or camping trip this summer, or even simply to add more food to your supply free. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack with purchase. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. And remember, free shipping every day.
Ouch! My back is out again!
Hi, Dr. Ortman with Wellspring Spinal Care. If you're experiencing neck, mid, or lower back pain, this information is for you. One of the complaints that I hear is patients receive their typical adjustment, only having to repeat them as the pain returns. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the battle. At Wellspring Spinal Care, we have the entire solution. We use the NUCA approach, utilizing three-dimensional x-rays and gentle touch technology to deliver specific correction. We then design a custom nutritional supplement program which provides essential nutrients targeting the areas of concern. With a NUCA approach and proper nutrition, you'll be on your way to a faster and more permanent recovery. To get you on the road to wellness, visit drortman.com. That's drortman.com. Or call us today, 952-303-9124. That's 952-303-9124. Wellspring Spinal Care, chiropractic done right.
Hi, my name is Stephen Heuer. As a degreed nutritionist, my first priority is for you to get healthy. That won't happen if I make wrong recommendations or cause you to spend money on supplements you don't need. After 20 years working with thousands of products and thousands of people, I know, for the most part, what does and does not work. One World Whey is the first and only unheated whey protein powder from grass-fed cows on the market. It retains substances that no other whey protein powder has. These nutritive compounds supply life-giving nutrition. Your body merely needs the right conditions to make great health happen. Due to low-quality foods, toxicity, and aging, having great health is more of an effort than ever. One World Whey is the superfood of the century, and when added to your diet, it promotes energy, detoxification, muscle gains, fat loss, and overall radiant health. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris, we've got Mac Maloney. We're looking beyond Area 51 to other installations around the world that may serve the same purpose or some more intriguing purposes. But with the rumors still existing in the UFO field that somewhere we are looking over the wreckage of a crashed UFO, is there any evidence anywhere that such a thing is happening?
No, there's no concrete evidence, no. We have a story in there that, you know, I've been following for a few years, and we looked into it for the book about the semi-famous about Jackie Gleason and Richard Nixon at Homestead Air Force Base. The story goes that back in 1974, Nixon discovered that Gleason was a huge UFO fan, which he was, brought him to a hangar at Homestead Air Force Base and supposedly showed him a crashed UFO and also the bodies of the occupants. There's some interesting threads of evidence for that, but, you know, we just kind of report what the story is, and people really have to kind of make up their mind whether it's true or not. One thing we know for sure is Jackie Gleason was very much into UFOs, and that was just one incident in his lifetime where he was trying to convince people that UFOs existed. So if Nixon had actually showed him a crashed UFO, dead occupants, that would have just reinforced his belief that, you know, these things are from somewhere else and that they exist.
Well, I know that Jackie Gleason had a skeptical approach to UFOs. He was a guest on the Long John Nebel radio show a number of times. So that's certainly accurate.
When he died, he had 2,000 UFO-related books in his library that his wife donated to the University of Miami. His house up in upstate New York was shaped
right.
Like
his house looked like a flying saucer.
And the story is that I think why people have discounted the story in the past is that, you know, the way the story goes is that they were golfing buddies. They seem like two very opposite people, Nixon and Gleason, but they were golfing buddies. They lived down south of Miami. Nixon had a house down there, Key Biscayne, and Gleason lived down there for a good part of the year. And they were golfing one day, and Gleason, you know, mentioned that he was into UFOs. And then supposedly that night around midnight, Nixon knocks at his door. Nixon's alone in a car, and he brings Jackie Gleason to Homestead Air Force Base and shows him this thing. So people say, well, how can Nixon be out without his Secret Service detail. Well, it turns out he used to give them a slip all the time. He used to just ride around by himself. He hated having the Secret Service around.
And probably in those days, people didn't care.
Right. You know, I mean, he was in the midst of the Watergate scandal. He'd be gone in a few months. Maybe kind of unusual thing for him to do, but, you know, who knows, you know. And then later on, Jackie Gleason's his estranged wife gave an interview to a magazine in which she kind of recounted this thing. And when Gleason found out about it, he was furious. And there's some people who say that that was the last straw, and that's why he divorced her. So, you know, it seems like a fantastic story when you first look at it. But when you look a little bit deeper into it, you know, as I said, there's a few more threads of evidence there than you would think.
Okay, but how do we prove such a tale today?
I don't know. You know, I don't know. I do know that, the way that the book is constructed, the first chapter, I go out and have a few beers with a friend of mine who works in the intelligence agencies, works with the intelligence agencies, someone I've known since grade school. I ask him, can you please kind of guide me, you know, here and there. I would send him portions of the book once I had written the first draft, and I asked him, can you tell me if I'm too far off here, and so on. And he also agreed to meet with me after the book was completed. And someone said the other day that he's like Marley's ghost walking with me through the Christmas Carol. But it isn't quite like that, but he pops up every once in a while to just give kind of like the intelligence community's view about different places we talk about.
Let me ask you very quickly. This is a real guy.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay, absolutely. Because sometimes people have these alter egos books.
No. Real guy, and just someone, as I say, grew up in the hood in Dorchester with him. And, you know, I went my way and he went his. And we got back together and we hooked up again. And he was someone who had spent 25 years in the Army, a lot of it in Army intelligence, and now, you know, works for the three-letter agencies. And he told me that he was at MacDill Air Force Base in Florida, and that someone had told him that whatever was at Homestead had been moved to MacDill. Now, is what was at Homestead the flying saucer that, and the bodies that Jackie Gleason was shown by Richard Nixon? I don't know, but something very, very secret moved from Homestead after Hurricane Andrew really basically blew it off the map, and now is at MacDill. So whatever it is, it's there.
Okay, what about something like Roswell? If there was a crash of a UFO at Roswell, where would the wreckage be now? What about the bodies of aliens? This is obviously a theory that is compounded by another theory.
Well, the point of the book, too, is that there are just many, many more places than Area 51. In fact, the original idea for the book was years ago I talked to this person who had been out there several times, not doing intelligence work, but basically working on the airplanes that flew out of there. And I said, you know, are there places like Area 52, 53, 54, and so on? I basically asked him, are there other places out there in that desert, that vast desert, that we don't know about? And he said, sure, there's a number of them there and other places in the Southwest. And that's really the idea for the book. So, you know, if there was a crash at Roswell, which I don't believe there was, and I know I'm not being much fun today, but I don't believe anything happened there either.
You know what? I'll ask you about that in a moment, but let's go to the answer to the original question. Then we'll ask your opinion about Roswell.
Well, I was going to say, if it seemed like the most likely place you would bring something like the Roswell debris would be to Area 51. But what I'm saying is there's a number of other places we've never heard of that. If you had material like that, you're more likely bring it there than Area 51 or Wright-Patterson or any of these places. You bring it to a place that is absolutely secret, and they are out there.
For example?
Well, one place is, which is very unusual, is a place called Tonopah Test Range, or Tonopah Air Force Base. It's in the middle of Nevada. It's about 100 miles north of Area 51, also known as Tonopah Air Force Base. This is the place that in the 70s, they tested the stealth fighter in complete secrecy for 10 years. They only flew it at night. Everyone who was at the base was under, you know, strict security concerns. Anyone who in the small town nearby who knew about it kept their mouths shut. There was a lot of people involved in this, and not one bit of information ever leaked out about the stealth fighter until it was very close to being revealed anyway. The stealth fighter has been out of Tonopah now for almost 15 years. But they have this huge infrastructure there that was built simply to hide classified projects. It's still there, and as someone once told me, keeping things top secret is very expensive. So it isn't like the government is going to go build another place when they have a place on the map that they know they can keep something secret. So if I was in charge and I had debris from a UFO and I wanted it to be absolutely secret, one of the places I would consider is definitely Tonopah Test Range.
All right. But let's go back to the next question that follows. Roswell, what do you think happened? Was it a Mogul balloon like the Air Force says, or what?
Yes, I think it was. It was something that, I mean, there was a cover-up, but the cover-up involved sending these balloons over Russia with acoustic devices on them to see if the Russians were testing nuclear weapons. At the time, Russia was not quite our ally, but they weren't our enemy, and that would have been inconvenient if they knew we were spying on them. They didn't want anyone to know that we had this capability. So I suppose it, you know, when one of them crashed, someone had the bright idea to say, well, look, we can't say it was one of these spy balloons, so we'll say it's a flying saucer, because flying saucers had just been quote-unquote discovered, you know, just not even 2 weeks before by Kenneth Arnold. So,
you know, that raises an interesting question, and we'll go into it in the next segment before we go back to the secret bases, and that is how often we have done things in secret and made people believe it was really a flying saucer. In other words, reverse secrecy. Or to put it more precisely, some sort of government disinformation working to a different goal. And by the way, if you want to reach us, you can check us out on Twitter, where you can send us a tweet. We're known as The Paracast. Once again, we're known as The Paracast on Twitter. Or just check out our site, theparacast.com. Once again, that is theparacast.com. Pay us a visit. Mac Maloney joins us. The book is Beyond Area 51. With Gene and Chris, you're in
The Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and floating phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO at WebTV.net. That's MrUFO at WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. Hemp USA USA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at hempusa.org.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
The book is Beyond Area 51, the other installations you may not have heard about where secret things are going on, with Gene and Chris. Okay, so you get the point, Mac Maloney, of what I'm saying, that maybe the military, our government, has used flying saucers as an excuse to cover up perfectly conventional testing.
Yeah, I think absolutely they have done that, because there's been stories in the past, they're not in this book particularly, but where they would test a new spy plane or something, and they would actually fly it over a city in the daytime just to see how many people would see it, just to see what their visibility factor was for this new airplane. And then, you know, but people would report it as UFO, and, you know, with the ridicule factor attached to UFOs, you know, the story would just die out in a few days.
Let me ask you the obvious question then is, do you believe there are UFOs?
I absolutely believe there are UFOs. I mean, UFOs exist. People see them all the time. There's something like 1,000 reported around the world every month. And, you know, some of them are, a lot of them are, you know, turn out to be kind of conventional answers. But there's a good percentage that no one can explain them at all. They've been caught on film. Airline pilots see them all the time. Fighter pilots, military pilots see them all the time. They just can't talk about them. We see them all the time. It's just that, you know, UFOs exist. We just don't know what they are or where they come from. And I don't believe the military knows where they come from either. They may know more about them. They might have more like footage of them and evidence of them. But I don't believe that they know where they come from any more than we do.
Let's go back to the bases. Okay. Now, are all the bases you're talking about in the book already known, or did you discover some new ones?
Well, I didn't discover any new ones, that's for sure. But they are certainly underreported, or, you know, never reported on at all, because Area 51 always seems to get all the press, which, you know, there are some people who believe that's just the point. Area 51 is the most well-known secret base in the world, and it deflects once again from these other places. Just ones that I didn't realize, you know, existed. Pine Gap in Australia, I had no idea how extensive that place was. We try to find Britain's Area 51, and with the help of Nick Fern and Nick Pope, we come up with like a top 10, and we go right down the evidence, and we think that we have found it at a place called Rudlow Manor, which just happens to be near Stonehenge. There is a very strange place in China called Hengtang, which, you know, is just almost impossible to figure out exactly what's going on there. But a lot of people think it has to do with UFOs. Of course, in Russia, there's Kapustin Yar, which is another very strange place. It's kind of like a combination Cape Canaveral and Area 51. And they do regular conventional rocket blast-offs there, but they also have nuclear weapons and exotic weapons there, and that place has a long, very long UFO history. So I'm sure there are other secret bases out there that you know, certainly we didn't discover them, and I think it would be very hard to discover them. But as my spook friend tells me at the end of the book, and the book has kind of a surprise ending, even though it's a nonfiction book, if they want to hide something that is really, really, really deep, deep secret, they might not hide it at a secret base. They might just hide it in plain sight, because in the end, that's the best way and the best place to hide something like that.
Chris, you want to pick up on some questions?
Well, obviously, Mac, when we look at Area 51, the first thing that comes to mind is, it's, as you mentioned, it's a red herring. It's like a way to focus attention onto a place that is, you know, obviously secret. But I think it's really important to underscore what you were saying, is that there are things going on elsewhere. What were some of the most impressive locations that you list in your book and that you've researched and investigated?
Well, the one that really struck me was Artek down in the Caribbean. Now, this is a place that that's an acronym, and it's people call it the Navy's Area 51. And Navy really has an interesting history with UFOs, because when people, you know, talk about UFOs, want to complain to the military about UFOs, it always goes to the Air Force, you know, because they're the Air Force. But the Navy always kind of gets a pass on it. But we know that they have never released any UFO files, even going back to World War II. So I was kind of surprised to find out that they had built one of their most secret bases literally right in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle. And it's on the island of Andros in the Bahamas. It's this highly secret place that is next to a ocean trench called Tongue of the Ocean. And once again, they do legitimate testing there, because we talk to people who have been assigned there and also Navy people who have gone there for training. And what they do is they bring, like, the new nuclear submarines there, and they test them out at these lower depths and so on. But the place is filled with monitoring equipment where they can see anything coming in the ocean for hundreds and hundreds of miles away. And it also has extensive radar and things like that, so they can see anything coming in the air from hundreds of miles away. Yet we go into great depth. I just scratch the surface of the number of UFO reports that have come out of that area over the years. Not just UFOs, but USOs, unidentified submerged objects, people in on boats and yachts in the Bahamas seeing UFOs come out of the water and fly away at tremendous speed. There's so many of them, we could have written a whole book about them. So we just take the best. But when people question the Navy about this, the Navy always says, well, you know, we don't believe in the Bermuda Triangle. We don't believe in UFOs. Therefore, we don't know anything about this. So what that tells you is that either all that multi-billion-dollar monitoring equipment they have down there for looking for things in the ocean, looking for things in the sky, doesn't work, or they're lying. They have to know all of this activity down there, because they're wired for sound everywhere down there. So I think that's a very, very interesting place. Why would this place that tests nuclear submarines, why would there be so many UFO sightings around it over the years? Once again, it's one of these bases that it's secret and has a long UFO history attached to it.
Chris? I was going to mention that, Mac, also that area around the northeastern corner of Puerto Rico, mm-hmm. around El Yunque, I believe is the name of the mountainous region there, the park that's there. Quite a number of UFO sightings. The continental shelf drops off really dramatically right off the coast of Puerto Rico there. And like Andros, what do you think about the possibility of underground facilities, or underwater in this case, facilities there? Do we have any sort of smoking gun evidence to suggest that we have an infrastructure underwater in that area?
Well, I didn't see any smoking gun evidence. I know Bill Burns, who I talked to when we put the book together, I know that he believes that there are could be underground, underwater tunnels there that actually bring submarines through into these secret bases that might be located under Andros Island. You know, with any kind of secret base like that, you know, we're only going to know a fraction of the story. And, you know, really, who knows what's going on at these places? You know, but any evidence of, you know, UFOs or anything like that at the Navy's, quote-unquote, Area 51, you know, we couldn't find anything like that. But the interesting thing, again, just to repeat myself, is that so much UFO activity goes on near Andros Island, and I agree with you, down near Puerto Rico, too. But so much goes on around Andros Island, and we just get so many newspaper reports and stuff that for the Navy to say that they don't realize this stuff is happening, they have to be misleading us because they'd be almost too stupid to do what they do if they didn't see this stuff happen.
Well, you can't assume anything, but on that particular assumption, one would hope that our Navy is a little bit more vigilant than they claim to be.
I agree with you.
Of course, you also wonder in a time where military budgets are not increasing as much as they used to, whether these various secret bases are being closed down, or maybe they fund them through a different method, so the budget that we are aware of, the public budget, isn't involved, like a black budget or something like that. Where do you hide the money? In $900 toilet seats, as someone once said?
Well,
we'll have to get the answer to that question in a moment. Have a couple of things I want to talk about. First, we have a newsletter. We have a weekly newsletter called, surprisingly enough, the PowerCast newsletter. Haven't mentioned it too much, but it's very easy to get a copy. We have sign-up forms on all our sites, or you can go to newsletter.thepowercast.com. That's newsletter.thepowercast.com. We'll sign you up in a jiffy. Now, each newsletter contains information about upcoming episodes of the PowerCast, and also a weekly commentary, usually from me, but sometimes Chris writes it. We've had commentaries in the past from the likes of Stanton Friedman. Really fascinating. It's the PowerCast newsletter, and once again, to get a copy, all you have to do is check out our site where we have these convenient sign-up forms. It is free, and by the way, we do protect your email addresses. We don't give them out to anybody else. Of course, the NSA gets it anyway. We can't do anything about that. Mac Maloney joins us. His book is called Beyond Area 51, where we focus on those other installations around the world where stuff may be going on that we should know about. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the PowerCast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Got a simple question for you. Can you sell? Yes? Okay. Can you sell the intangible? If yes, and you'd like to work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, with no overtime, no weekends, if you're passionate about not closing sales, but about opening relationships, if you truly have a desire to serve global clients who need your advertising expertise, and you're local to the Twin Cities and Burnsville, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable and a whiz on the phone, GCN wants to talk with you right now. GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, and we're hiring right now. We offer benefits and an excellent commission structure. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise at GCNlive.com. Again, that's advertise at GCNlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, an equal opportunity employer.